Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang with you. It is time now for Mind Your Business. I suppose you might have come across a very common question. Are you a coffee or a tea person? In some cases, people say they're a Milo person. Hey, whatever you enjoy, right? But if you're a tea person, you have definitely heard of the 1872 Clipper Tea Co. They were founded in Singapore in 1872 by Balaj Porolis de Silva, if I'm pronouncing that name right, I do beg your pardon. The family brand is in its fifth generation of leadership. And the brand focuses on offering fresh and high-quality tea products through exciting customer experiences at an affordable price. Now, the brand prides itself on being vertically integrated across the whole tea supply chain that enables them to ensure only the best and finest in quality. But unlike any other sector, COVID-19 has taken a hit on the tea industry. So I just start to wonder, I mean, how will this industry look like post-COVID? What are some of the challenges it's going through? Well, on the line with me this morning is Rihan Amarasuriya, who is Executive Director, the 1872 Clipper Tea Co. Rihan, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm fine, thanks. Glad to be on the show.
Thanks for catching up with me on this one. So you are Singapore's oldest tea producer, a heritage tea brand. What else can you tell us about the 1872 Clipper Tea Co.?
Well, it's a brand that has been started in Singapore, and you know, our heritage has been five generations long, starting with my great-great-grandfather serving Ceylon tea alongside jewelry, because he had a jewelry shop on High Street. Uh-huh. And then in the fourth generation, you know, dowry was given to his daughters, and that was in the form of tea plantations. And in the third generation, we started an export company, which we continue to do today, where we supply the best brands around the world. We supply black tea to them. And, you know, we continue this tradition in tea, and you know, I'm glad to be part of it and leading the 1872 Clipper Tea brand.
Yeah. You know, what would you say then, you know, if you were to be compared with your competitors, what would you say is what sets the 1872 Clipper Tea Co. apart from them?
I think the very deep knowledge and expertise in tea throughout the supply chain. I think it's very unique to actually have a brand that's involved directly with plantations, manufacture, export, and then have a brand, because that expertise along the supply chain gives us a very unique opportunity to share a lot of things that the consumer otherwise wouldn't be exposed to. And we really would understand how to source the best teas. And the networks, the global networks that we have, allow us to bring a lot to the table that other brands would otherwise not be able to.
It's also a little bit convenient, and there's not so many hoops to jump through. I am curious, though, because you have this, you know, owning this entire vertical of the business, right? Compared with other tea companies, how much of a difference did that make throughout the COVID-19 crisis? I mean, very early on, there were a lot of supply chain issues.
Yeah, it was very interesting because shipping, general shipping, because tea, you know, there's a lot of, we use ships to transport tea, and shipping went up about three times the cost in general. But because we had agreements with certain shipping companies, okay, for our other businesses, our bulk business around the world, we were able to secure the supply back to Singapore very smoothly, still at an affordable price. So, you know, in terms of the supply chain, we tapped on the fact that we had that bigger business out of Sri Lanka, and our supply wasn't interrupted.
Right, right. And I'm assuming you get your tea supply from Sri Lanka then?
Absolutely. Okay. So everything comes into Sri Lanka and is processed and packed in Sri Lanka, and then it comes to Singapore.
Ooh, I love Sri Lankan tea. Very, very nice. I am curious though, and maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, so help me out here. There's this commercialization. You got a lot of younger crowd that tend to turn to things like bubble tea, or they tend to go for the fancy stuff, right? I want to ask how you stay relevant, but I think I would like to change that and ask, I mean, how do you guys look at these other players? How do you guys, not to say stand out, how do you give that premium feeling, you know, when I buy 1872?
Yes. So it's a great question. And I think, you know, we're really happy that the renaissance and the growth of bubble tea has grown so much in the past probably 5-10 years. Mm. I think in Singapore, it has come in form of waves where there have been growths and drops and then growths. But, you know, right now, I think it's never been bigger. But to me, that's fantastic because what it means is that consumers are engaging with tea. Mm. And like, if you think about bubble tea in the early days, it's heavy sugar, it's heavy cream, you know, it's total, you forget about the tea.
No fragrance,
but,
yeah.
But if you look at what has happened in the past 3 years, you can notice that even within the bubble tea category, there has been a push towards focusing on the quality of tea and elevating and focusing on the tea. So you can see a maturing of the palate of the consumer. And the consumer is actually demanding a higher quality tea. And this is what I see in even in the B2B business when I travel around the world. You can see that bubble tea also is shifting. The consumers become more sensitive. It's much like wine. You start wanting a more quality. You want more flavor. You become more sophisticated. And that's happening in Singapore. And that builds a bridge very nicely into our brand because we understand that there is a bubble tea category, but there'll be a time where the consumer would mature and would want and expect more, wants more of a nuance, wants more quality. And that's where, you know, we think we can play a very nice role in being that bridge from bubble tea to more premium teas and teas found around the world, not just the 4 standard bubble tea bases that are in the market.
Mm. It's almost like a man who matures and grows older moves on from drinking cheaper alcohol to more enjoyable, sophisticated whiskey in
absolutely.
That sense. Same mindset.
Absolutely. And that is the exact parallel. You know, it's happened in my life. It's happened in all my friends' lives. Yeah. Like, I can see that transition. You know, what we were drinking when we were 18 and now I'm 35, that difference is that same transition happens even in coffee and in tea.
Mm. Your age, is that reflected in the bulk of the demographics of people who buy your tea?
I think yes. I wouldn't say 30s. I think it really ranges, but it starts maybe at about 25 upwards.
Okay.
So we don't get the teens, but it's really maybe somebody who has just started working for about 3-4 years, you know, and start to explore higher quality products, and then they start engaging with us.
Mm. You mentioned earlier, I mean, we were talking about some of the challenges that you guys went through during the COVID crisis. I want to talk about the impact of that and, you know, moving post-COVID. Now, things are improving. Mm-hmm. We're kind of getting used to minor disruptions here and there. I mean, how do you see the post-COVID world where the tea industry is concerned?
Tea, I think, is a beverage, whether the market's up, whether the market's down, whether there's COVID or no COVID, people still consume tea and coffee on a daily basis. In fact, I would say that there's been more consumption. From what I've gathered, that consumers, because they were working from home more, they were looking to find ways to, like, boost up their home experience. And tea is one of those that I think the consumption of tea has increased over the COVID period. And I think it's just a change of how they're consuming the tea. I think there's a lot more takeaway and sort of ordering on apps for the tea. We also see a lot of pickups where we take an order and you know, they pick it up from the store, bring it home. So there's much less store. I think the volume of businesses to the store is less and there's more consumption at home. That, I think, is the change.
Mm. Okay, so you guys have 2 retail shops, right, at Ion
and
Jewel.
That's right.
A couple of counters here around Singapore. So am I right to say, I am curious about this venture into retail shops and where do you see this going? Do you expect to expand?
Yeah. So the thing about retail shops is that, you know, they've taken on a new meaning because of the internet. So, you know, in the past, when we think of a retail shop, we're just thinking like physical location, okay, with the physical traffic that we have there, okay, and that would be the exposure. But today is very different. That physical retail shop engages with the community, even if they're not in the mall. Because of the apps, because of the internet, you're engaging with that whole area, that radius around that mall. Mm. And really, it was our push. We wanted to get a lot more closer to the local community, and having Jewel kind of engages us with the East Side community, which is a very big community.
So
therefore, like, it's yes, the physical store is hampered in some way because of COVID, but there's the added benefit of being connected to that area. So I think there are pluses and minuses.
Okay, quick in, quick out, that kind of thing, go for a tea run. It's very interesting you bring that up, because I already can imagine this shift in mindset. And the reason I say that is because in the past, when I used to travel, visit relatives overseas, the most requested for item is buy a homegrown tea brand. That's obviously affected. How do you see this leveling out eventually when things start to get better?
I think we did have some shops in the airport. We were retailing via another retailer, and we had consignment points, and it was a fantastic business that was growing very well till COVID hit. I think because tea, like you mentioned, is a very good gift when you're traveling, and I think that part of the business has been really affected, but I personally see travel coming back. Mm-hmm. It's just how long we're going to have to wait. And I believe that will be also a very significant part of the business. But for now, it's really quite dismal. It's practically, you know, completely stopped. So I think we have to accept that that's not coming back. And we really have to work hard on engaging the consumers, the local consumers that are in Singapore.
But I mean, that must have been a bit of a challenge, especially you're saying that the Jewel outlet is meant to engage the East Side. Unfortunately, it was closed off to the public for a while.
Yeah,
it's open again. How was that managed? I'm just curious. I mean, how did Jewel handle it with you guys? I mean, there's rent and all that involved. What was that like?
I think they take a very sort of cautious approach. I mean, I think because they're under the Capital Land Group, and I think whatever is shared is by far the most fair I have seen among the landlords, because each landlord sort of, you know, has different views on this topic. I would say whatever is given across the board, at least from my knowledge. And I guess as a retailer, you always feel that more can be done.
Right? Yeah, of course.
You know, you always, But I think to the extent that they could help, they did help. And I think they really did. I mean, I did see very, very good efforts in terms of marketing. When the reopening happened, I believe there was free parking for a long extended period of time. And the marketing push from the management team was very aggressive. And, you know, they've tried very hard. So, you know, it's a bit of a give and take thing, and from my opinion, I'm satisfied with what was shared.
Okay. Rehan, the future of 1872 Clipper Tea Co. What's the brand focus this year, and what else can we look forward to moving forward?
So this year, you know, with the Jewel menu, I actually created a completely new menu, and it was actually a travel-inspired menu, because I traveled prior to COVID. I was traveling about three times a month for the tea business, and the knowledge that I had gained, because we actually sell tea to, in Hong Kong, the Cha San Tings, and in Taiwan, a lot of the bubble tea shops, and then in Japan, a lot of the RTD manufacturers, the top ones, we actually supply the black tea. And what I noticed was that each one of these Asian countries had a different preference of the type of black tea and a certain region of black tea from Sri Lanka. And I actually created a new menu that was travel inspired. And although they're all black teas, there are nuances in the taste. And really the push was to allow the consumers to develop their sensitivities between the different teas and be inspired and really focus this idea of speciality and really go into these different farms to source very specific teas and share that with the consumer. So I guess really the push has been to focus more on the speciality parts and bringing out the USP of the actual USP of the what you know, the advantages that we have in our supply chain and bringing that to the forefront. And that has been my focus this year.
I just had a flashback of the time I was in Sri Lanka and there was a bit of a tea tasting session, and the description is exactly what you're doing. Thank you so much for that. Rehan Amarasuriya, yep. Executive Director, the 1872 Clipper Tea Co. on the line with me. Rehan, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.